We need at least several more weeks of simulator runs, Nadia. There's no sense rushing this. Pancho's got to be able to do this mission blindfolded, purely by reflex. Wonderly nodded glumly and walked away. Pancho knew what she was thinking. The election's only 10 weeks away. Will we be able to run the mission before then? Leaving Chavalera to shut down the control consoles, Gaeta walked over to the trio standing by the massive suit. Your turn this afternoon, Jake. Wanamaker nodded. He was due to practice flying the transfer craft that would carry Pancho to the B-ring and then pick her up on the other side. Looking almost guilty, Pancho said, I can't make it this afternoon, guys. Gotta be at Holly's rally. Gaeta frowned, but Wanamaker said, We can run the transfer sim without her, can't we, Minnie? It'd be better with Pancho in the suit, Gaeta said. No can do, fellas, said Pancho. Promise my sister I'd be at the rally. What rally? Wonderly asked. Come with me, Nadia, Pancho replied. You ought to be there, too. But no buts, Pancho insisted. The guys can run the transfer sim without us, can't you, Manny? Clearly unhappy about it, Gaeta nodded minimally. I can run the suit. Pancho turned to Wanamaker. Well?
Hearkening and obedience, Wanamaker said with a mock bow.
Tavalera asked, What's this rally all about?
Women's stuff, Raoul, Pancho replied, but men are welcome to attend, too.
I need you here, Raoul, Gaeta said firmly.
Yeah, I know. I was just curious. But he was thinking, I haven't seen Holly alone for weeks. Guess I wouldn't at her rally either, whatever it's about.
Holly stood alone on the stage of Athens Indoor Theater and watched the rows fill up almost entirely with women. Pancho sat in the front row, grinning up at her, and she even had Nadia Wonderly sitting beside her. She saw Professor Wilmot and a couple of other men, including that Ramanujan guy that worked for Everly, a flaming spy from Malcolm, she told herself. It almost amused her to see Wilmot and Ramanujan sitting together, as if for protection, amidst a growing sea of women. Berkowitz was in back, a remote controller in one hand to direct the cameras he had stationed in the far corners of the theater. Otherwise, the theater was occupied by women. Dozens of conversations hummed through the place, but so far they didn't sound impatient. Quite the opposite, Holly thought. The women seemed positive, even buoyant. More were still coming into the theater at 2 o'clock, the time set for the rally to start. Holly fidgeted nervously on the stage, torn between a compulsion to start promptly and a desire to get as large an audience as possible. The theater sat 400, and the seats were more than half filled. Malcolm's first rally back in his first election campaign hadn't drawn this many. She killed a minute or so adjusting the microphone pinned to the lapel of her tunic. At last, 3 minutes past the hour, Holly cleared her throat and said, I want to thank you for coming here this afternoon. All the buzzing conversation stopped. All eyes turned to Holly. She noted a few women were still trickling into the theater and hurrying to seats toward the rear. I know a lot of you have had to take time off from your jobs or other occupations to come here. I want to apologize for having this rally at such a weird hour. Thing is, the administration claimed that all the theaters and other public spaces are completely booked for every evening between now and Election Day. And you know who runs the administration. Malcolm Eberly! Someone shouted. A chorus of hisses rose from the audience. It startled Holly and sounded like an angry warning from a den of snakes. Reason Eberly stuck us with this mid-afternoon time is he figured nobody'd show up. But he was wrong, a woman yelled. Laughter and cheers rose from the audience. Holding up her hands for silence, Holly went on. The reason I accepted this dim-dumb time was that we've got an important job to do, and we can't waste any time getting it done. What is it? Pancho asked at the top of her voice. Suppressing a grin at her sister's stooging, Holly said, We want the zero population growth repealed, or at least re-examined. Repealed! Several women shouted. Well, okay, but Eberly's going to say that the ZPG protocol can't be repealed or even altered unless there's a formal petition signed by 67% of the habitat's population. No! Boo! That's a crock! Again, gesturing for silence, Holly said, I'm afraid it's true. I've looked it up. Our Constitution states that any clause or protocol that's in force now can only be changed or repealed outright if 2/3 of the Habitat citizens sign a petition to that effect. A babble of angry voices rose from the audience. Now wait, Holly urged. Wait up. Women make up 47% of the Habitat's population. If we get all the women to sign the petition, we only need 2,000 men to sign up. That silenced them. Holly could practically hear them thinking, 2,000 men. How are we going to get 2,000 men to agree with us? Fishing her handheld from her tunic pocket, Holly flashed the petition she had drafted on the rear wall of the stage. I've written up the petition, all nice and legal, she said. Now what we've got to do is get 6,700 signatures in less than 6 weeks. Petitions have to be officially registered and counted by May 1st, 1 month before the election. That gives us only 41 days to get the job done. We've got to get busy. They jumped to their feet and cheered, all but Wilmot and Romano John, who sat there in stony silence. Holly felt thrilled at their response, until she realized there were hardly more than 200 here. We need 6,700 signatures, she thought. Even if we get every woman in that habitat to sign the petition, which we won't, we'll still need 2,000 men.
20 March 2096, evening. Where were you this afternoon? Yanez asked his wife over their dinner table. I called from the hospital and you weren't home. Estella replied. I went to a political rally. His eyebrows rose. A political rally? You? Why not? I didn't know that Eberly held a rally this afternoon. It wasn't for Eberly, Estella replied. Yanez put his soup spoon down on his placemat. Whose rally was it, then? Holly Lane's, she replied calmly. It was about this ZPG business. Frowning, he picked up his spoon and ladled some soup to his lips. She's written a petition against the ZPG protocol. I signed it. Estella, no. So did plenty of other women. Sheer nonsense, he muttered into his soup. If she heard him, she gave no sign. They finished their light dinner cheerily enough. Then Yanez went to the living room to watch the news while Estella cleared the table and put the dirty dishes in the washer. She heard Holly Lane's voice and looked up. Oswaldo was watching the evening news, but he quickly turned it to an entertainment channel. Once the kitchen was tidied, Estella went to her desk, next to the pantry, and took a copy of the ZPG petition from the top drawer. She walked into the living room and deposited the petition in her husband's lap. He looked up at her. What's this? The petition. He scanned it, then handed it back to her. Very competently drafted. Sign it, she said. What? Sign it. We need 6,700 signatures. Sign it, please. Estella. She dropped the petition back on his lap. No, he said. Estella did not argue. She said nothing. She simply left the flimsy sheet on her husband's lap and sat beside him to spend the rest of the evening watching entertainment vids beamed from Earth and Cellini. They retired to bed. Once the lights were out, Yanez laid a hand on his wife's bare thigh and began stroking her skin. No, she said. No? Sign the petition. Estella, I'm shocked. It's not right. Sign the petition. I have my rights as your husband. Once you sign the petition, we can discuss your rights as my husband. Not until then. He glared at her in the darkness. She turned her back to him. Furious, he turned his back to her. They both fell asleep that way.
Urbain spent the evening shuttling between his office and the Mission Control Center, while his engineers and technicians were trying to trace out the ghostly trail of the tracks Alpha had left on Titan's frozen ground. Urbain had presided at a meeting of the biologists on his staff. They had crowded into his office, bubbling with excitement at their observations of Alpha's ghost tracks. I've set up a timeline, said Negroponte. She clearly had assumed leadership of the group. The tracks are smoothed down in a matter of hours. How many hours? Hard to say exactly, she replied, pushing back that stubborn lock of hair that swept across her face. It's between 4 and 10 hours.